Hey everyone, welcome to Bitcoin Banter. I've got Tony again. This is the show where we just talk, discuss, and banter the week's news. So looking forward to this. We've got some good stuff. Tony, neither of us got to watch the US presidential debate last night, which is probably best for both of our mental health. But rumor has it Biden didn't show up in full form. So you had a good reference to make.
I don't know, man. This feels like a bad episode of Grumpy Old Men. They're both up there. It's really sad to see. I mean, you can almost file this under, senior citizen abuse. More than that, I have no comment to say. It is what it is. But if that's the future America's headed towards, boy, oh boy, man, there's
God
trouble
bless us.
brewing. Yeah. God help you.
Yes. All righty. Let's jump into the rest. So we've got so Mt. Gox next month is going to be beginning its $9 billion in repayments. And there's sort of speculation that this could put more sell pressure on Bitcoin. But the I think what some people seem to have missed is that they're redistributing Bitcoin to to their previous customers, not selling it on the open market. So I'm just curious what you if you think this impacts anything. Obviously the fundamentals don't change, but what maybe this means for Bitcoin in the coming months.
And people love drama, especially from those that don't understand anything. They just like to talk for the sake of talking. And I think this is where, a lot of emotions are overblown. You have to understand that the folks that bought Bitcoin on Mt. Gox, these are people that understand Bitcoin and they fought tooth and nail to get it back. I don't see a high probability of most of it being sold back into, that worthless fiat. Not from these folks. I mean, yeah, maybe you'd have like a certain percentage of individuals are going to sell, but I mean, that's unavoidable. Some people, they do whatever they want to do. So maybe like 10, 20% maybe would sell. But my gut feeling tells me that most of them will not. I mean, why would they? I mean, you've waited so long and now you're holding like literally an asset that has appreciated like God knows how much since the moment you bought it. Why would you sell it back for rubbish? It just doesn't make any sense for me.
Yeah, I think we'll get a little bit of sell pressure, but not $9 billion worth. I think there are going to be a handful of people who are in, maybe tight financial situations, or maybe didn't have the conviction and were just in Bitcoin early. And but yeah, I think you're right. Most of these the people who are going to receive these distributions are people who probably more fundamentally understand the mechanics of Bitcoin than your average person entering here in 2024. So I suspect you're right. It's probably overblown. A more interesting story for me this week was actually I saw this video before Peter St. Ange shared it, and I hadn't done the math on what the increase was, but this guy hit, basically he showed a Walmart order from 2 years ago they had, so his groceries for the month, and it was like $126 or something like that, and there was a reorder all button where he could just choose to put all those items, the same items, back in his cart. It was over $400, so a 329% increase in 2 years. And we're told that inflation has been, 3%, nine, I think in the US, maybe like 9% was kind of the peak. What is your response?
Man, this is truly heartbreaking because I mean I've seen this coming along, a long time ago. I think it was last year, a little bit over a year ago, there was a similar tweet from someone in Lebanon showing that if you wanted to go have a chicken breast for lunch, it was costing around $1,200 for a chicken breast, a plain old chicken breast. So when things hyperinflate to that level, things get ugly really, really fast. This guy's shock is so powerful because now it's happening in the West. See, it's not happening in countries like Lebanon anymore. So people here are like, oh shit, like this is next door, so this is likely ha it's going to happen to me at some point. I don't understand what's going on. What are we supposed to do? And that's just like, there's no better proof than, failing fiat.
Right.
This
Yeah,
guy just illustrates it flawlessly.
Yeah, I was talking to my brother about this yesterday, and I said, now extrapolate this to a family of four who's been struggling, like as a single guy, it sounds like this was his grocery bill alone, to be, and quick glance at the cart, he had Fritos, potato chips, things like pretty cheap stuff anyway in there.
Nothing
Like,
fancy.
yeah,
Nothing fancy.
never mind if you're trying to buy high quality organic grass-fed sort of food. I mean, it's just and this is why I keep going back on this stuff to my thesis that I think social unrest is like the next step in the West, because once enough people realize that everyone else is suffering, or a large number of people are suffering the way they are and are just struggling to make ends meet, I think eventually we just have some social upheaval. Like, there's just no way around that in my mind.
Unfortunately, you're absolutely right. I've been warning against this, and I don't like to be that messenger of doom and gloom, but when things get to that point, good people start doing bad things. And these bad things is anybody's guess, because you don't know what you're gonna how you're gonna react, when you have nothing left. So it's again, it's a movie no one has seen before, and it's a very ugly one, unfortunately.
Yeah. And it makes you wonder where, I think this is the sort of video that goes viral and people step back and they say, where the hell are these 3% inflation numbers coming from? Because maybe they're not good at math, but they're like, if this is 3% inflation, then 3% inflation is insane. And I can't deal with it. And it's not my fault. I studied hard. I work hard. My spouse and I both have jobs. And we've got a family to raise and no options. We have to feed our family. It's it's devastating, and I'm concerned that it's only going to get worse.
Anyone believing government numbers with regards to inflation or anything these days for that matter is really is making a foolish decision. Whatever number they say, just multiply it by two or three, then you'll get a more realistic result. Or just go out to your supermarket. Your $1,000 buys you nothing, compared to what it used to buy you, as little as a year ago. Exactly what this poor kid just discovered. From 126 to 416 or 414. Insane.
It's beyond insane. It hopefully though, it's the it, it maybe we do need things to continue with this trajectory though, for like a true awakening. And it's unfortunate, but I mean, you've reiterated this point over and over that you need to sort of feel that max pain before people are willing to do anything. And you experienced it in Lebanon, and we're going to talk about that at the end here. But yeah, it coming to a grocery store near you, I think, is kind of the takeaway. And it's probably already there for most people.
Yeah, sadly.
Some good news in the world of Bitcoin for libertarians, for freedom-loving people at least. Julian Assange has he reached a plea deal with the US government, and there's a lot of people were kind of upset by he had to plead guilty but was credited for the time he served, but now he's a free man. I'll be interested to see what he does with his freedom and where we see him popping up, and if he's going to be kind of hitting the media circuit with the likes of Tucker and some of the people who would have someone like this on. But is this are you celebrating this week?
Yeah, of course, man. This was terrific news. It was, in my opinion, it was bound to happen. I mean, the every lie has an expiry date. However long that takes, at some point, it gets exposed. And I think this is just one of them, and a really good one, because this poor guy has been incarcerated, for such a long time, for something he didn't do other than say the truth. And it's really unnerving when you have to put up with the acts of criminals, and you see innocent people being locked up, whereas the real criminals are, running around making the rules, ensuring that, nobody looks in their direction. This is what's really upsetting. Thankfully, that mold is cracking, and eventually, more information is going to be leaked out, and social pressures are going to break this wide open. I mean, I don't know if you heard, but there were some, like a big number of WikiLeaks information that was, conveniently deleted. Somebody noticed that. But, unfortunately, the internet doesn't forget anything, and a lot of that is archived. So whoever thought, they deleted whatever it is that they removed is in for a treat, very, very soon. So I don't know how this unfolds, but I'm really happy it's going in this direction because whoever's responsible for this poor man's incarceration, at some point their turn is coming, and it's about time that it does.
No, I think it's a reason to be optimistic that the I think the pressures I think so many things have gone so poorly, and the evidence has become overwhelming that the United States aren't always the good guys, and so much of these things that you kind of wonder, these conspiratorial notions that might happen behind the scenes. People are waking up to the fact that they do happen, and it's not such a conspiracy theory. I saw a t-shirt recently that said Noah was a conspiracy theorist, and then it started to rain. It's like, this is, I think more and more people are recognizing that, and the things that I've been saying now for a couple of years since going down, the Bitcoin rabbit hole, sound less and less crazy to the people around me. I think they're more and more open-minded, which is it's unfortunate that someone like this and others too have had to pay the price, but it's a legacy worth leaving.
Yeah, man, I think we're living through the most impactful time of history. I mean, you read back, what happened, a decade, decades or 100 years ago, and there's a lot of fascinating stories that took place. But I think what's going on now, the complete obliteration of a thought process, of the way the world, was believed to work, that whole thing is falling apart. And we're headed into a world of truth, like incorruptible truth. The separation of money and state, again, this is much, much bigger than, anyone can possibly, fathom at this point, because we're not living yet in the future to see what, something like this, brings about. I think it's going to be utopian, on a whole different level.
Yeah, I completely agree. And more good news. We have a lot of good news this week besides the groceries increasing by 329%. And this is U U.S. Congressman, I think it's pronounced Matt Gaetz, introduced a bill to allow federal income tax to be paid in Bitcoin, which is, I saw a lot of Bitcoiners sharing this and like, I'm not paying you my Bitcoin, which neither am I, but I think it's one of those important steps that it brings legitimacy at a much higher level to the asset class in general. And it also sort of assumes that then the US government might begin to hold some Bitcoin on its balance sheet if people do pay taxes in Bitcoin. So I think this is a really, really important step, even if the average Bitcoiner, the average hodler is going to continue to get rid of dollars, and give those back to the government. But I don't know. I mean, from sort of a perspective abroad, what do you see when you look at something like this?
Well, it's definitely news to get, I guess, bullish about. But I wouldn't pay taxes in Bitcoin, and I wouldn't recommend anyone dox their wallets or their Xpubs to the U.S. government or any government for that matter. If they created that garbage fiat, pay them back in the same product that they imposed on you for all these years. Don't give them the world's scarcest asset. You keep that to yourself, and return back the worthless pieces of paper that they've given you and tricked you into believing was worth anything all these years. But yeah, I mean, as a buzzword, as a legitimacy, as you say, yeah, of course, it's brownie points to whoever talks about Bitcoin. But again, it comes back to the whole point where all roads lead to Bitcoin, and at some point governments are going to be forced to adopt it. It's a Bitcoin, it's a bottoms up technology. Enough social pressure, builds, they're going to have to accept it, whether they like it or not. I mean, what are they going to do if they don't accept it? They obsolete themselves, instantly, considering there's many options outside the United States that are, readily and openly accepting this as not only legal tender, but, as something that they don't mind if their citizens, transact with. And that's going to continue to increase, in my opinion. And again, social global pressure, all roads lead to Bitcoin.
Yeah, I wonder what the impetus was for him introducing this bill, because I saw someone tweeting that he was down in El Salvador recently. I guess for Bukele's, what's the, I don't know if it's his inauguration or whatever, but with Ted Cruz and some of the others who have been pro Bitcoin, and I had never heard of him, Matt Gaetz, talking about Bitcoin, and I wonder if he was, hanging out with Max Keiser and Bukele and meeting these people and sort of beginning to put the pieces together that this is something significant.
Well, that reminds me a bit of piracy. It's a bit along the lines of piracy. When at some point, people were pirating music and movies, up to like 90%. And then there comes along, Apple Computer, and they release a subscription model where you can buy what you want for a dollar. So bypassing, the sort of music tax where you had to buy a CD for 30 bucks, even though you only wanted, one song on that entire track. So by adopting Bitcoin, well, that's extra revenue for the government that they may not necessarily have received otherwise. Now that we're headed into this world of cryptocurrencies, there's 100 ways to avoid taxes. So instead of always being, against the tide, an intelligent approach would be to embrace what the masses are opting for, and Bitcoin is definitely one of them. So seeing that it's incorruptible money, they can trust it, right? So governments, and like I said, they will adopt it at some point because that's the only thing they can rely on. No other country would have an advantage over them because of it, because it doesn't really matter how much of it you own. You can't control or decide anything for what you. All you can do is use it. So yes, they will start holding more of it. I don't know if that translates into printing fiat to infinity in order to buy Bitcoin, or just holding on to what they have. I have no idea how they're going to go on about this, but I'm fairly confident that they will at some point announce that they're holding it and that it's somehow good for the economy, and it's a matter of national security now that the US government holds Bitcoin. There's going to be a whole bunch of narratives spun around this.
Yeah, this is game theory playing out,
100%.
and there's no way to predict like how exactly it happens. But once the U.S. government, obviously a very influential nation, in global commerce, begins to like you don't hear anything from Elizabeth Warren right now. I mean, she was so her anti-crypto army and this and that, and like all of a sudden now we're seeing a lot of traction in the opposite direction. Donald Trump talking about Bitcoin and crypto. Like you can tell a lot of these guys really don't understand it, but the first piece of understanding is that it's freedom technology, and you should have the ability to use this to custody it, preventing any concerns of a CBDC. And yeah, I view this as very bullish, even if understandably a lot of Bitcoiners are like, well, I'm not using Bitcoin to pay taxes. Yeah, don't. No, that would be insane. But this is a step in the right direction.
I agree. I agree. I mean, now it's a buzzword. It's what the people want. It's a cool thing to be pro Bitcoin, right? So I don't think they understand it fundamentally, because if they did, they wouldn't be too optimistic, because this thing was created to replace them, to render them irrelevant. So, the separation of money and state is going to happen, whether they realize this or not. In my opinion, it's definitely headed that way. So it doesn't matter who's in power when the power of money is stripped from them. And that's really when you start getting good government again, because now you're forced to compete. If you're no good, you're out. Very easy. There's no room to manipulate your way into staying in there.
Amen. All righty, last one. I want you to, so you had the opportunity to speak at BTC Prague and tell your story, and you shared this tweet thread. I guess it's this morning my time. I'm not sure when you actually posted it, but you sort of walk through your story, your time in Lebanon, and I mean, this is just, I think the reason I love the approach you take to sharing your story is because, so many of us, so many Bitcoiners are really privileged to not have to, like, it's a lifeboat for us from this like potential impending disaster, and you've already experienced the disaster. Like you sort of have this foresight into what it looks like and how it works when money breaks. Do you want to maybe just share a synopsis of maybe your story or what you talked about at BTC Prague?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I essentially went up on stage to share my story. You know, I wasn't there to sell anything. I wasn't there to influence anyone. I was just there to share an experience into something that I lived myself and to use it as a warning because of what I see happening in the West, in Europe. It's the same movie playing all over again. And you know, if you're not paying attention to this or you choose to ignore it, like I did, you know, at least initially, you know, I wish I had someone like myself tell me this before I lost everything. Because let me tell you, I would have been listening very, very carefully because this is not a joke. Mechanics of fiat currencies, as you know, they are identical no matter where you live. So whatever happened in Lebanon is coming to every city around the planet. And if you're not careful, or, you know, again, if you choose to ignore it, well, you're going to learn, you know, the way I did. And it's not a good place to be.
One of the things you shared with, you said you have the chance to willingly take the orange pill. I had no chance but to take the orange suppository. This was life or death, and that's the reality. And what I love about the work that we're doing at the Bitcoin Way is we are, desperately trying to get people self-sovereign as quickly as possible, so they can do things right. They can take the orange pill willingly, because the alternative is ugly, and it really is. There's a stage that we reach where it is truly the only option.
I mean, you also have to understand that despite the massive crisis in Lebanon and the loss of lives, you know, that came about it, Bitcoin adoption isn't as high as I would have thought it would have been, right? And at first, it's really like mind-boggled me. It really confused me to no end. But you know, upon careful thinking, I almost understand why, you know, because for the longest time, for decades over decades, you know, you've been brainwashed into thinking the world works the way it does, right? And so when people get to a certain age, man, their life is so difficult as is that there's no room to learn. There's no patience to want to understand something, especially something that's volatile. People need to eat. And so trying to orange pill someone, you know, in such a destitute, you know, point of their life, it's just not going to work, right? So they need something like immediate because they've got families, they've got kids, they've got, you know, sick members of the family, whatever it may be. But you know, despite all of this, you know, you do see a gradual increase. I see it a lot more now in Lebanon through the people that I communicate with. But you know, theoretically, you'd think, well, if you lost everything, why wouldn't everyone already be in Bitcoin? Like, it just makes sense. Yes, to you and me, it makes sense. But the simple minds that are maybe not educated, minds that have never been exposed to anything other than the lies, you know, it's very, very hard. It's almost like a heroin addict. They know they shouldn't be doing this, but it's almost impossible to get off of it unless, you know, you're literally yanked out, put into a rehab center, and you go through the anguish in order to come out on the other side. So we have to be patient with all of this, and this is where, you know, pushing the education and really cementing the message and showing concrete examples as to why no one is safe. you know, but again, it takes patience, it takes perseverance. And as far as we're concerned at the Bitcoin way, we're removing the number one hurdle about this. It's like we're actually doing the work for you, you know, so you don't have to learn anything if you don't want to on your own. You will learn it through the consults because we know we're really good at explaining things in simple terms. But you have someone on your side. You're not going about this alone.
Definitely. So, to anyone listening, I would highly encourage you to check out Tony's recent tweet thread. It really is. It's good, and I would add that watch the. I think your talk was 20 minutes, so it's not like you got to commit an hour and a half to it or anything. But the story is inspiring and really gives you. It gives you like a proper context for what the use case of Bitcoin is, and can't recommend it enough. And then, of course, I would always conclude by saying, if you do need help with Bitcoin self-custody, check out the Bitcoin Way. Go to the bitcoinway.com/podcast, schedule some time to chat with our team. Again, to Tony's point, if you're looking for help, I mean, you know, there are tons of resources out there to help you, but if you want handholding, you realize your thesis is the same as ours, that this asset is going to be worth much, much, much more in the next 4, 5, 10 years than it is today, then you want to make sure you do it right. And that is what we do all day long, is help people get it right and have confidence. I was a client before I started working with the team, and can say that I've never been more comfortable with the setup that I have. So, you know, Tony, thanks to you for all the stuff that you share and your willingness to you know, get this message out in such an impactful way.
Thanks, Mike. And it's become my purpose now.
It's fantastic. We need more people like you. Everyone for who's listening, thank you so much for checking out Bitcoin Banter. Do us a favor, subscribe to the channel, like it, share it with someone. We always appreciate that, and we look forward to sharing more here next week. Thanks, Tony.
Thanks, man.
Cheers, everyone.